I don't believe in magic, but I do believe in interpreting coincidence exactly the way you want to. I wish I had come up with that myself. That's from best-selling author Sherman Alexie. I think I might be, Belinda, correct me if I'm wrong, I might be the only person who's been to every single sacred storytelling since the first one, or I'm one of, if there's other people here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've come to every one, and it occurred to me that I, well, the word sacred, I don't know if you've looked that up, but it has to do with God and religion, neither of which occupy any time or space in my life. I don't have God or religion. So it's interesting I was drawn to this sacred storytelling, and I think for me it was because I correctly assumed it would draw mostly women, and I just particularly right now love women's stories and sharing my women's stories, so I've come every time and heard beautiful stories from women. And I have this skeptical brain with a credulous heart, and now my skeptical brain is going like, that's ridiculous, your heart can't be credulous, it's just an organ that pumps blood through your cardiovascular system, and it doesn't have the capacity for credulousness, but I do, and I'm not, because I'm too smart for that. Shutting that off, I know better. But I am comfortable, I talked with a gentleman about this just before the show, with the dichotomy of the credulous heart and the skeptical brain, the rational dreamer, the skeptical romantic. And I'm a Capricorn, so I don't really believe in astrology. So when Belinda invited me to tell a story, I was like, yeah, I really am ready to come and share a story at Sacred Storytelling. But when the topic was assigned of synchronicity, well, I'm kind of a stickler for the rules. I'm like hyper-literal on that end of the spectrum. And I do notice that sometimes at storytelling, people get up and they fit a story they've already been working on to the topic, and I won't do that. I'm like, I have to come up with a synchronicity story. And so I told my friends, I'm like, I know there's so much synchronicity in my life, and I can't think of a story. And they're like, you've got to be kidding me, your life is so synchronous. So I call my mom, because my mom's like my external hard drive for my life. And man, she was like, sit down, are you kidding? There's this story and this story. So I just made a little list of like three little tiny stories from my childhood and from my adult life that I had forgotten about, but my mom remembered all the things we lived through for 20 years, and 20 years after that, all the things I've shared with her over the phone. She remembers all my little synchronous stories, because she is a really hippy-dippy dreamer, credulous brain and heart kind of person. So I'm going to call these three stories Gloves, $20, and $5. So my parents split when I was about 10 years old, and my five brothers and sisters made the logical choice to go live with my very emotionally, mentally, and financially stable father. And I was a mama's girl, so I stayed with my active, alcoholic, unstable mother to be by her side and just to enjoy the craziness that was our life together. And we lived below the poverty level throughout my second half of my childhood. And I didn't realize that we were living below the poverty level until back in the 80s, when college was like $1,000 a semester, and they had all these Pell Grants and state grants, and you had to turn in your parents' financial statements. And I did not realize. My mom did a really good job of hiding the fact that we were like dirt poor. Like, we were living off of like $7,000-$9,000 a year, like well below the poverty level even in the 80s. And she liked to use the term champagne taste on a beer budget. So I never wanted for anything, never lacked anything in my life. And we lived simply, and we were very lucky. And there's that word again. It's like luck is kind of this magic word, but I like this idea of luck is just preparedness meets opportunity. And the skeptical brain is like, yeah, that there's no magic there. There's just like focus and perception. So the story of the gloves, if any of you grew up in the 80s in a wintry climate, we had these things called Freezy Freakies. And they were gloves that had thermoreactive ink in them that would not show up. It was invisible in the heat. And when you got out into the cold, little pictures would show up on your gloves. And there was one that, like, it had a heart. It would say, I heart snow, when you went out in the cold. Or, like, a skier would show up, or a UFO. And I was kind of a tomboy, so I think I wanted the UFO ones. But they were, like, $30. And we didn't have money for, like, thermoreactive ink in our gloves. And I shared my, what I called my bundlings, scarves, gloves, earmuffs, hats. All those things were just communally owned in my family, because you had one day, the day of your birthday, that you got a present, or Christmas, that it was your thing. And then the next day, it just became communally owned by the family. So whether I was living with some or all of my siblings over the years, we just had a communal closet of all of our external clothing, and none of it belonged to any individual person. So the idea of getting these like $30 gloves that would just be mine, that would have to wait for like a special birthday Christmas thing, December, January, and winter was already coming, and I wanted these gloves. So I told my mom, I really want these gloves. I don't know how I'm going to get them. We're like out for a walk in November and winter is upon us. And then there they are on the ground. Like they're new, they're clipped together. They don't have the tags on them, but they're like perfectly in good shape. And there's nobody around that had recently dropped them. And I put them on my little preteen tiny hands and they fit perfectly. And that's how I got my pair of Freezy Freakies. Yeah. And apparently they have a Kickstarter going now, and they're bringing them back, so if anybody's going to Sundance or Mammoth this winter, get yourself some Freezy Freakies. So over the years, I've kind of tested my ability to harness this power that I'm very skeptical about, is like saying something and calling it into action. Like, hey, I want to be an actor, and that's what I've been doing. I've been making a living as an actress for 20 years, and it was sort of this thing I just said out loud, and then it's just happened all these years without a lot of effort. So one of my first voiceover gigs about a decade ago, back when I had a car, I was driving into the valley for this like low budget non-union gig to play Mary Magdalene, who I've subsequently played three times now in on camera and voiceover, and I'm apparently Mary Magdalene in like the Basilica in Burbank. I haven't seen it yet, but I posed for the painter. And I'm getting off the freeway, and there's a homeless man with a sign asking for money. And I kind of waffle between these two policies of, like, most of us were probably raised, taught that you don't give money to these people that ask for it because it doesn't help their lives, and it's not the appropriate way to go about it, and they're probably just going to use it for drugs anyway. But then the other side of me is like, God, if I were homeless and asking for money, I would like to think people would give me some money from time to time. Maybe I could actually eat some food and maybe someday have shelter over my head. So I generally have this policy. If people ask me, I don't really have any good reason to say no. And I will go into my wallet and whatever's like the smallest bill I have, a 1, a 5, or a 10, and give it to them. Well, at this point, I'm going to this like $100 gig, and I only have a 20 in my wallet. So I'm like, all right, you know, put your money where your mouth is. Give this guy the 20. And then I immediately think, I wonder how soon I'm going to get that $20 back. So I put that out there, go to the voiceover gig. On the way out of it, the director kind of chases me out to the door, and he's like, hey, I just want to tell you, after like a long day of doing this, out of all the actors, you really did a good job, and I just want to give you a little something extra. And he gave me a $20 tip. And in 10 years of being a voice actress, I've never in my life received a cash tip at the end of a session. But when I asked when it was come back, within an hour of giving this guy the $20, it came back to me. It gets better. I'm still a little skeptical. So last year, I was living in South America the past couple of years, and last year I came back to help a friend of mine dealing with an illness, and I went to an event around Valentine's Day that was like one of those manifestation workshops at a shop in Los Feliz, and it was like how to make things happen in your life, and I was thinking like, oh yeah, I want to make things happen in my life. I didn't know it was going to be this like new age hippy-dippy like how to make things happen. And, you know, so I went to this place, and I walk in, and I get hit with the wall of the smell of like new age, you know, incense and candles for magic with the letter K. And patchouli is still a thing, and crystals have an odor of their own. I'm really skeptical about crystals. So I go to this workshop. It's like an hour long, and it's donation-based. So I'm like, okay, well, I feel like the guy was funny and entertaining, and I got something out of it, so I'll put like $7 in the thing, you know, for an hour of his time. And he's like, just so you know, whatever you put in there, it will come back to you. Like, oh, he's just begging me to test him. So I go to him. I'll actually leave after throwing the $7 in. And then I'm like, I'm going to put an extra $5 in there just to see how quickly this $5 comes back. Put the $5 in there, walk out, check my phone. I missed a call from my girlfriend in New York. And so I'm calling her, and she is like, to give you an idea of how far on the other end of the spectrum she is actually a psychic hotline addict. Like, she is in debt over an addiction with psychic hotline. So she is at the other end of the spectrum. And I'm talking to her. I was like, Ange, hold on a second. I gotta tell you what I just did. I'm like, I gave this guy an extra $5, and you're not gonna believe what is on the ground at my feet right now. There is a $5 bill, and I can't even bring myself to spend it. I keep it like in my room, like as a reminder. I don't know what it's going to remind me of. Like, so I got that. Thanks, you guys.